It's Tuesday night, November 1st.
December 1st, I believe.
Or no, December, for those that want to pay close attention. Thank you. I do that a lot.
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask for the flowing of your truth. It has been so consistent, we have no business just taking it for granted.
Amen.
It is a work of grace. Heaven forbid that we should take for granted your works of grace. We thank you for it. We thank you for your faithfulness in that, Lord. And we ask for it again tonight by your Spirit. Amen.
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 In John chapter 3, I'll find it here eventually. I'm in John, but in a different place, but in the chapter 3, John the Baptist said, speaking of Jesus, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Whoever God sends speaks the words of God." Isn't that in any case? Wouldn't that be, if he sent us, wouldn't that be the same thing?
Well, he's got a lot of deity in him.
No, I lost my other spot. Okay, it's in the fifth chapter of John. So here's John the Baptist talking, and in the fifth chapter, verse 36, Jesus says, "I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do, and bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Because I speak the words of the Father." And that's what John the Baptist said about him. And in verse 37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye had neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Well, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. So what does he mean by that? What do you mean he hasn't seen his shape? What? And verse 38, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not." Okay, so God sent him and they don't believe him. "Search the scriptures." Okay, now he's talking to the Jews. And all they have at that point is the old covenant, the Old Testament. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." In them you think you have eternal life. "And they are testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." It's a kind of a double talk situation. Jesus said, "You hear the scriptures and you think that in these scriptures you have eternal life." Well, don't they? Isn't eternal life in the scriptures? Of course, all they had is the Old Testament, and he is a new covenant. And he is what the Old Testament was talking about. And so in him is eternal life. But just in the Old Testament scriptures is not just eternal life in and of itself.
No, because they didn't see that those scriptures testified of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see how they're
not rightly reading them or discerning them or whatever.
Yeah. And so, do we have? Peter said, and he said, "Are you going to go away too?" Jesus said to the disciples, and Peter said, "Where do we go? For you have the words of eternal life." The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Is that what it says?
Amen.
And so, did they have life through the law? Through that one more zeal? They had the potential of it, because, but only as it was in Christ.
You know, if you didn't know, you would say, boy, that guy is egotistical. You'd say that about Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a real high opinion of himself, doesn't he? You know? Actually, that is so totally not what's going on there.
Well, he doesn't.
He's recognizing the work of his Father.
Right. He doesn't take any credit.
He himself is nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
They weren't hearing it that way, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, when you are, it's only been a very thin thing that I personally have experienced. But it's been thick enough, so I know, hey, when you're speaking under the anointing or whatever, you can think it's pretty great. And it has absolutely nothing to do with you. You just know it to be a great God that's speaking there.
And so he told him, he says, search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. Okay. So let's take a look at the Muslims. And what is the Muslim Bible? What's it called?
Quran.
The Quran. Okay, so you search the Quran. And in this you think you have eternal life. But those are not scriptures that point and talk about Jesus. So there is no eternal life in them.
Okay, I could be off on this, and I'm not trying to contradict you, but I view eternal life as the treasure, and I view the Bible as the map. I don't view the Bible as eternal life. It's just the map to get it to eternal life.
Yeah, and that's what it says here.
Okay. Well, I heard you say, or I want to make sure don't refer to the Bible as eternal life, just as the way to eternal life.
Yeah. Well, Jesus.
And I end up being stuck on that, so I apologize if I'm being overly
it's implying in the scriptures as eternal life.
I totally acknowledge that, but I was sitting there going,
you should search the scriptures for in them. You think you have eternal life.
Well, they said.
And if they rightly discerned it, they would indeed have eternal life there.
Yeah.
Well, no argument. Without the Word, you can't get there.
No.
Well, not without the Word and without the Holy Spirit. So.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I don't know. That's a pretty thin line because I don't know. I don't know if I'm going either way on that yet. Because, just the scriptures you don't want to rely on for eternal life, but the scriptures given to you by the Holy Spirit is what gets you eternal life. It's also what gets you to the kingdom of God. Because every time Jesus said something, he said, "And this." So it's his words, and they're recorded, but this will get you eternal life. You know, this will get you into the kingdom, you know, or this, whatever. I should find some of those examples.
But the point is this, that only the scriptures that speak of Jesus Christ are the way to eternal life.
Yeah.
And so if you have the Quran, and it you know, it don't even include Jesus Christ, do you find eternal life?
No.
No.
Not there.
I mean, that's a book about the about a false prophet.
So if we have a freedom of religion, and so that all religions are equal, are we okay?
No.
Well, I guess I would argue that we better accept freedom of religion, because who's going to be doing the calling? I know. Well, this religion's good, but this one's bad. It's great if it's an enlightened person who is making the call, but you get some Muslim deciding, no, this religion's good and this one's bad. Let's just say, hey, the government's got to keep their hands off of this. Let them all have at it.
I think the only reason they allowed freedom of religion is they didn't want Christianity taken out. You know, they were protecting their own beliefs in a sense,
yeah.
You know, with the Constitution. And so to be fair and equal by the Constitution, you had to allow any religion to, you know, have a freedom. But I think they were, you know, because most of all that came over were Christians, mm-hmm. that established the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they were protecting that, and they knew, well, we can't force or demand everybody to be a Christian and be calling ourselves a free nation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that...
And then they have the Catholic versus the Protestants, too. You know, the Catholics would have been...
Yeah, right.
Had this be a Catholic nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Be able to persecute the Protestants. And
sure,
or, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Because they were battling in the other country between right. Catholics and Protestants.
I mean, ideally, we would, and come the millennium, freedom of religion. We won't need freedom of religion. We'll have... That'd be just one truth.
You
know?
Yeah.
I think you bring up a great point, Keith, but it's kind of how I've reconciled what's now legal in our country versus what's lawful according to the Bible. I mean, homosexuality is now quite legal in many ways in our country, but it's not scriptural.
Right.
I mean, you know, so...
That's protected by the Constitution now according to the Supreme Court, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
But it doesn't make it right before God.
Oh, no. You don't.
And that's all my point.
That's right.
It's kind of like, even though it may be legal, it doesn't mean it's not a sin.
That's right.
Because, as Keith is saying, well, all these other religions that don't lead you to Christ, you know, how can they? And I go, yeah, we allow you the right to make a bad choice and not persecute you because of that choice.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah.
Oh, look. Hey, I got Grandpa a humidifier here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, see you later.
Yeah.
Yep. And I can imagine that there would be... You know, if we could have Christianity legislated, then there would be governments that would say, hey, you have to be a Trinitarian. Anything else is heresy, and we're going to throw you in jail if you're a heretic. So,
that's what Walter Niederhauser had in Switzerland.
Yeah, give me freedom from religion compared to that. You know? Even if it involves, heck, Muslims, but then, you know, there are witches and, you know, all sorts of satanic stuff is protected by the First Amendment.
Yeah. But they burned them. So.
They used to. They don't anymore.
Yeah.
Not around here.
Those same people that wanted that religious freedom, although actually that was, you know, 150 years after they hit the rock, right? 1620 to 1770. And it's a long time to put those thoughts down into words. But yeah.
Yeah.
I might not be remembering right. My history says that a lot of the people that came over on those early boats might have been Christians, but they were also criminals.
Right.
And England was just kind of finding a new prison. Ship those people over here. Which really was interesting how, you know, given that, how they kind of went up the way they did and the path they chose in terms of how they were going to set up and behave because of the government. And, so it's interesting. Yeah. Anyways, I apologize for dragging us into a rabbit hole a little bit there, but I just me being me.
But the point is, it's Jesus Christ and Him only that is the way to eternal life.
Amen.
Yes.
And so,
Second Timothy 2:5.
Yeah.
I mean,
when they originally had considered the freedom of religion, it didn't take into consideration all these other ones. And since that time, all the other ones have come in. We have, you know, they're prominent in America. And of course, the Muslims are going to be. Because they're prominent in every nation they can get their fingers into. And they think they have a reason. Because they think that what they believe is right.
Unlike all the other religions. But they do believe they're going to take over the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of time, you know.
Well, my grandpa, 60 years ago, or at least 60, 70 years ago, I remember him making a statement. He said, the nation to worry about, and this was years ago, is China.
Well, you got a smart grandpa.
Yeah. And he said, that's a nation to worry about. And he had reasons, but that's been too many years ago. I don't remember what they were. I didn't have a good night, I think. I slept just a little while. I saw America turning socialistic. And even our little ones being put into labor camps. Scared the crap out of me. I say no more. But it was a bad night.
Susan and I had a bad night, but for a little different reason than I.
Huh?
Susan and I had a bad night last night, but for different reasons than that. But I think both reasons are, can go back to just being attacked by the enemy. So. I certainly, given the amount of blessings that we've been given, and the amount of the revelation, the amount of Holy Spirit that we're getting regularly, it's reasonable to assume that we're going to get buffeted.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
Well, I didn't see the horns, but do, later on this morning, I realized who was working on me.
Mm-hmm. And for me, generally, that can happen when my natural mind starts thinking too much about what's going on. Mm-hmm. That opens the door for the enemy to start working on me, you know. So,
well, me too.
I mean, you know, because if you go that direction, it just, you'll get negativity. I mean, for the most part, you know, things that you're hearing, you know. So if you dwell on it, yeah, it'll get you.
Yeah. Once you try and figure out how to fix this in the natural, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's really, leave that up to God.
And you know, it's funny, we read about persecution and all that, but it's like, then the minute it starts to approach us, we get flustered, you know? Yeah. We get frustrated.
It's going to come, too.
Yeah, and it's going to.
And it ain't going to be nice.
No, but...
It's not going to be nice.
But you have to dwell on, if you're in it for Christ, it's going to be a glory time. You know, it's like you got to keep hearing the words of Peter and them, you know, when they were getting thrown in jail and Paul got whipped or whatever, to suffer for Christ, that was glory. And the Father will reward you in the end, you know, maybe not in this world, but in the end. So that's what we got to probably keep building our foundation, to have that be foremost in our minds when it does come. And well, I'm certainly not there, you know.
Yeah, I got some good counsel from Shannon this morning.
She feeling better, by the way?
Huh?
She feeling better? She feeling better?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What was that?
She said, you just got to put all your trust in the Lord.
That's right. There you go.
Yep, you're right.
That's exactly it.
You know,
it's going to come. I guarantee you. We're just that close. We're so close, it's pathetic. Oh, hell,
you know, we've been preparing for test. What, are we going to say, no, we must not be tested?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I saw 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. All hell would break loose.
You know what I really like?
But I don't want it to.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the natural side.
Yeah.
What was really good about that counsel was approaching it like a little child, and that's what you should do.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard thing to keep reminding yourself, the more revelation that you get.
I should re-instruct it her. Mm-hmm. But, and she's right. Well, oh, it's hard. It's hard when you see it coming, and you know it's coming. You don't even wonder if you're right. You know you're right. We're right around the corner, and all hell is going to break loose.
You know, our point of vulnerability, our point of weakness, is our family. You know, and if we could only remember and take to heart, or whatever, Jesus's instruction. Unless you hate your mother and your father and your children and your wife and your own life also. You know.
Well, how do you do that?
I know. But that is, I mean, he didn't say it just once. He said it several times. But I think that's got to be key.
Brett, they stopped over with the three little ones today that I just adore them. And I when they went away, I was broken. And I think they're going to see this.
Yeah, might. More than likely.
It's like I was saying, Lord, take me out of here first. Don't let me see it.
You know what might happen? They'll have 10 times the faith you do.
And they'll have what?
10 times the faith you do.
I hope so.
Don't count God out.
And that's my problem.
Children are much more resilient than probably grown-ups in handling, you know, diversity and whatnot. Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but when it comes right down to it and they know it, they know where to stand, more or less. And, you know, I mean, not all of them, I'm not saying that, but, you know, they a lot more of them than you think will probably rise to the occasion, you know. Of course, you know, I think of my family, and they go, yeah, I wish I could reach them somehow, and they'd be in the position, more or less, I am, of knowing things, you know. But I can't make them, you know.
You know, it may be
lately, but you know, it's
if the world gets so ugly as to have the kind of intense persecution we're talking about, then it may be that whatever they learned as children or whatever will come back, and that will be so much more appealing than whatever is being offered.
Yeah.
By the Antichrist or whatever, that and the Holy Spirit can work there too, you know, under those circumstances.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and of course, I guess, you know, prayer is going to be needed, you know.
Yeah,
something's running over there. I don't know what it is.
Dishwasher.
Is that what you're hearing?
The dishwasher's running.
Does it always make that noise?
When it runs.
I know you just moved in, but.
It just sounds. And it changes depending on how you arrange the plates in there. So.
But you had a bad night.
I did.
But
I kept thinking of that dream too, 50 years ago. Got so bad that it was a good thing when the trumpet blew and God took the people out. It was a good feeling. So they wouldn't have to go through. He took a people out because so they wouldn't have to, and I don't think it was just in that field. All over the country,
in the world.
Because I knew you could hear that trumpet anywhere.
It's interesting. I was just thinking of that scenario there where one will be taken, you know, in the field, whatever, and it implies in there that it's at the end. But why? I don't know. It just,
well,
why would it be the selection then? Well, then I suppose hell and damn, or fire and everything comes onto the earth or whatever, maybe, but I don't know.
That is an odd. It's an odd scripture.
Yeah.
It's odd.
But that scripture, to the book of Philadelphia, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour that is coming to try the whole world. That's what it says.
Yeah. And that's the tricky part. Because there's areas also where it says there's the saints that were slain in the tribulation, but then there's a period after that. That isn't the end yet, you know. So, it's like there could be a rapture, but there could also be more people saved after the rapture, at the very end.
Well, that's a spot in Revelation 3. That's not the only place that says that. There are other things that suggest that.
Well, right, but there's also places that suggest that some are going to go through the tribulation and come out in the end.
Yeah.
Be martyred in the tribulation.
Well, so, yeah.
And what I saw in a dream, I don't know who they were. I couldn't make out anybody. I didn't know any one of them. I wasn't close enough to tell. I just saw lots of people on the field. Then I saw the cloud that covered them. And then I could see little heads sticking up, you know, but it's like the head would push the cloud up. And then I watched, and it wasn't a, how old Don Burnett used to say, harpazo. It wasn't just
snatching away.
No, it was a, they were just lifted up off the earth. And so then when I saw what it says in Revelation, and that doesn't mean that I'm right any more than somebody else is. But I did have that experience. That is what I saw. And enough so I'm wondering if God doesn't take a certain, if people will do a certain thing, he'll put them someplace out of the way. Until it's over with. That's what it sounds like in that setting in Revelation 3. Because you have kept the word of my patience. Isn't that what we want to do?
Yeah.
I bet.
That's what we want to do. And last Sunday afternoon, and of course we're going to keep doing that stuff for a while, I didn't feel the same unction that I did a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. And at the same time, little Noah, Shelley mentioned that on the phone. Little Noah, who is Steve's grandson, who hasn't been, it's been kind of rough on him, certain things because. His son's name. Anyway, the mother, they had this cute little baby girl, Evie, and he started feeling left out of the family. You know how they'll do that sometimes? And so he got real quiet and just kind of isolated himself a little bit, and they got concerned. But they knew what it was. That was Evie became the highlight. You know, this pretty darling little girl, and she's not all of a sudden. Well, this is all on the tape, but she's not thinking that she's somebody great. But Charlie said, he said, "Well, I'll be there. I'll see you next week." And so, which tells you that, you know, he's just little, but he was affected by what he heard. And so, we got to realize that the little ones are susceptible too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God can do something in them when they're little.
Yeah, they don't carry all the baggage around that you do.
No, I got a lot of baggage.
Well, and scars. I mean, the. You know, as Ken was saying, you know, they haven't been hurt and disappointed by people as much as you get older. You just like, yeah, you start trying to figure out how you're going to work this out, and then you can't count on anybody. That's why we get hopeless. And children just have a little bit higher level of hope because people have let them down so much.
Yeah, if they're in a good family situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Angel was over here with her three today for a little while. And Brittany was over with her three for just a few minutes. And both of them, both Angel and Brittany, have a real good relationship with their kids and with speaking the words of truth to them. You know what I mean? So it's a good thing. Both of them, both Brittany and Angel, they have followed after their grandma. And what you know, they just, well, you know, Angel named Jonah after Joanne. That's as close as he can get to Joanne. So that's what, the word that he's starting to say is Joanne. And he's just 10 or 9 months old. But anyway, I guess you can't be persecuted until you are. You know?
Yeah.
And you won't know how well you'll answer that bell until you are, too.
Sure. That what?
You won't know how well you'll do in that situation until you're in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, we all would like to say, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stand like this, and I've got this faith. And all of a sudden, you're on the hot seat, and you go, well, I don't really seem to have as much faith as I thought I would. You know, you got to be tested.
Yeah.
You got to be tested.
We had to meet in a bomb shelter in Switzerland because that was illegal to have deliverance. He preaches oneness, but he had to do it real carefully because he could lose his church if they found out that he did. And they're in a socialistic state. Max Osmond had to pay about 50% of what he made to the government. And then the government took his money, and out of it, he was insured, and you know, he got some kind of a pension when he retired. But he made good money.
It's easy to say right now, but hey, we prepared all these decades for a test. It's kind of good to be tested. I'd be, do all this preparation for a test and then, not get tested.
Oh, yeah. Not even worthy of a test.
Yeah.
Kind of disheartening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there does seem to be a fair amount of testing going on right now.
Huh?
There does seem to be a fair amount of testing going on right now.
Yeah.
Is it a short one tonight, as far as the date?
Yeah, sounds fine.
It might be good.
Love you all.